The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, what's on my mind is to tell you a few stories from the Buddhist tradition. And there are stories about how we can be in the world, the complicated world. So one story is about this famous king or emperor of India, considered to be the first emperor of India, kind of conquered, united much of India of his time, King Ashoka, who was considered to be, when he was conquering much of India, was very cruel. And his way of, you know, his battles were quite bloody. And there's one famous battle, the records say that there were 100,000 people who died on the battlefield. And after the day after, the king walked through the battlefield, kind of, I guess, surveying the carnage. And I imagine it was pretty gruesome to see. And walking through the field was a Buddhist monastic who was steadily walking, calmly, peacefully, walking through it all. And the contrast between this monastic and the carnage is quite strong. Someone who could be independent, not pulled into the world of the violence, not caught in it, not afraid of it, not angry with it, not distressed about it, but clearly in the middle of it, upright, calm, walking in the middle of this situation, is a very powerful image. And it was a powerful image for the king, because the king then stopped the monastic and got teachings, and the teachings he received converted the king from his violent ways to become basically kind of a non-violent ruler of his country, and stopped his conquering. And this idea of a certain kind of strength of presence, I don't think of that monastic as being kind of weak or, you know, in the calm, but a certain kind of strength and dignity and being upright in the middle of it. The other story is not exactly a story, but is a rule that monastics have. Buddhism is often associated with being nonviolent, and there is kind of an exception for it. And the exception is if a monastic is being attacked for the purposes of escaping, and that's the language, the purpose of escaping, the monastic can strike out. So like someone comes, you know, with a knife, you can have to hit away the knife or hit away the arm. Someone grabs you by the throat, you can, you know, knock away their arm. But you're not allowed to attack them first. You're not allowed to hit them, you know. But if you need to escape, as a way of escaping danger, you're allowed to strike out, be violent that way. But there's a caveat or requirement. But only if you have metta in your heart. Only if you have kindness for the person. So you're not doing it out of hate, hostility to the person, but you are taking care of yourself. So here again, there's this idea of being upright, strong, capable, maybe soft in the heart, kind, but also very clearly and definitively taking care of yourself. You know, this is what I need to do. And then the third story is a story of a monastic who was sick with dysentery. And sad story is that the other monastics in the monastery were not taking care of this person. You have to realize sometimes when people become monks and nuns, they really need to become monks and nuns. They have things they have to learn. Rather than thinking the monks and nuns are already, you know, fully enlightened and the perfect embodiment of what, you know, Buddhism is about, sometimes they're the people who are least embody what Buddhism is about, and that's why they have to become monastics, to kind of learn something. So that's how I explained the story away, that they, you know, the monks and nuns weren't taking care of this monastic who was dysentery, laying in bed, you know, and excrement, and just... And the Buddha said, heard about this, went with his disciple Ananda, and went right up to this monk. And the two of them then got water and towels and cleaned this monk up. And then said, then gathered all the other monks and nuns together in the monastery and said to them, here in the monastery you have no fathers and mothers to take care of you. You only have each other. And then he said, those of you who want to take care of me, those who want to, you know, as the teacher, you should take care of those who are sick. And in India, where you take care of the guru is like one of the highest spiritual things you can do, it's a pretty big deal to say that taking care of the sick is like taking care of the guru. But the image of the Buddha kind of going right into the place where the monk was sick, dignified, upright, getting the water and cleaning him. So for me, these three stories point to a way of being in the world where, you know, the third one is nice, but I wanted to save it for last. That's the compassion, the caring. But sometimes when we spend too much time being emphasizing compassion and care, some people actually become weak in the process. Some people actually kind of think they're supposed to care and kind of give themselves over to whatever's going on and not stand up and be upright and kind of like you have to kind of be soft and kind of gentle and, you know, like, oh, everyone's so, you know, I don't really count. I just have to be compassionate or something like that. I think being compassionate is a really great thing to do in the world, but we can do it with strength, through being upright and dignified. Sometimes we have to take care of ourselves. And it's kind of dramatic, this idea of striking out. Sometimes we have to establish firm boundaries with people and family and other people. And we can't do this anymore. But the rule is you do it with loving kindness, but you still take care of yourself. You know, firm boundaries, this is how it is. And then sometimes we're in a world of carnage. We're in a world that's really horrible to be in. And it's not making it pretty or assuming it's different than what it is, but it is possible to be in the middle of it and not be part of the carnage, not be part of the wars, not be part of all this, but have a dignified, upright, and balanced way of being, a strong way of being, that also allows us to have a certain kind of calm and peacefulness that can be very helpful for the world around us, like it was for India. That this happened to be this monastic walk through the field at a time when this emperor was most vulnerable to expressions of peace. So the part of this practice we do of mindfulness is to help us to become soft in our minds. I talked about earlier today about developing a softness or relaxed kind of qualities inside. But that's not the whole story. It's also developing strength and being able to hold yourself upright. And this idea, this both literally and metaphorically, this idea of being upright in the midst of whatever goes on means that we don't cower, we don't collapse, we don't run away, but also we don't attack, we don't strain, we don't push forward, but we hold a certain balanced position, place. We're rooted in ourselves. We're rooted in where we're standing. There's a confidence and strength in that. And then in that confidence and strength, there can be calm, there can be peacefulness, and there can be freedom, the radical freedom that Buddhism points at. The radical freedom Buddhism points at, deep letting go, doesn't require us to lose our strength. Doesn't require us to kind of become, you know, I don't know what, somehow pushovers for everybody, or are somehow, you know, washed over or drowned by everything that goes on around us. But, you know, there's a kind of uprightness in the midst of everything. So I hope that as you do this practice, that you remember that this is part of it also, that it's possible to practice mindfulness while being upright, while being a certain kind of strength of character, strength of being rooted in yourself. And perhaps the mindfulness is more effective and more powerful when that's a reference point for you. Your own personal strength, your own personal being rooted and upright wherever you go. So that was my, what was on my mind today, my heart. So hopefully it resonated well enough with what's on your heart and mind. So thank you.